From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, the place you get concentrated weird injected straight into your ear holes. We are your unlicensed injectors for the day, more generally called podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea. And today we are going to look at a chunk of a wide topic commonly known as, Chelsea, are you ready for it?
I'm ready. I'm waiting.
Out of place artifacts, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes. I'm excited to see what we look into. What could be out of place?
Oh, there's some things that are out of place. I need you to know this. It's even right on the Wikipedia page. This shortens down to Ooparts.
Ooparts. Okay, what Wikipedia page are we talking about?
Out of place artifacts. It's a Wikipedia page.
The Oopart Wikipedia page, of course.
So it's OOP, out of place, and then artifacts is shortened to ART, Oopart.
Okay, I'm very excited, especially for the Oopart, now that there's an acronym. I love acronyms, and I love out of place things. Are they spooky?
I wouldn't say spooky per se. Like, a out child out of place is a spooky thing.
Yeah.
Stairs out of place are a spooky,
spooky
thing, in theory.
Yeah.
Bigfoot anywhere, kind of spooky. But these things, I wouldn't classify them as spooky per se. However, if I was the person that came across these things, I might go, ooh, spooky. But I don't know.
That puts it into perspective. Let's just keep going.
Okay, well, at this point, actually, this is where I wanted to ask you what you think of when you hear the term out of place artifact.
I think it's spooky.
I'm hearing spooky, yeah.
It's spooky, yeah. Because if I was to see something I didn't expect to see in my kitchen, I would think spooky. Like, what's it doing here? How did it get there?
But it's an artifact.
Yeah, like mummy tomb in my kitchen.
It's not just out of place. It's not like there's a dog in your kitchen, unless it's a fossilized dog, which I think at that point could be an artifact.
Especially an artifact in my kitchen. I'm going to be like, how the hell did it get here? What's it doing there? It's probably cursed.
Okay. Well, these things might be cursed. We don't know for sure.
Come in here. There's a tomb in my kitchen. It shouldn't be there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say, generally, when we're talking about out-of-place artifacts, they are found around artifacts also.
Other artifacts. Okay, it's not just
or like, at least they're not in a modern setting. They're just found in a place where their presence, at least in certain interpretations, should not be there, either because they're too old or they're too new, things like that.
I guess I'm going to have to see where the episode goes, because now I'm thinking, like, something's, like, there's a, give me an artifact, quick. Like a painting at the bottom of the ocean. That's super out of place to me. How'd it get there?
Well, what if it's on the Titanic?
It's
technically it's out of place. Like, that. I guess the boat shouldn't be there, but okay.
It shouldn't be there.
I guess this is a good place to start it off, then.
Yeah, because I'm very curious. I feel like you're not talking about what I'm talking about.
And I'm just letting your mind wander, which maybe isn't the best for a Taylor-driven episode.
Let's see. I feel like it's going to be spooky, but let's see where it takes us.
Well, let's put ourselves in these places where these discoveries happen. So, Chelsea, imagine yourself. You're a Russian geologist, part of the Kosmopoisk group. You're just digging through 300 million year old rock looking for a meteor that gave your homeland a bump when boom, you see it. It's a screw holding together a rock just right there in these stones that you're digging through.
Okay.
The rock is 300 million years old. So this well predates humans and all dinosaurs, in fact. Like, there's not even dinosaurs on land by the time this rock was formed.
No dinosaurs.
No dinosaurs built the screws. Yeah.
Okay, I'm spooked.
Okay.
I'm a Russian and I'm spooked.
This happened right around Moscow in the year 1998. And these scientists discovered what appears to be a screw or a screw shape in rock that is 300 million years old, which they believe is an out-of-place artifact.
The rock or the screw?
The screw. The rock itself is normal. It's a good, normal 300 million year old rock.
Okay, and the screw is equally as old as the rock?
Yes, at least. We have no reason to believe at this point why it wouldn't be.
Okay. It's natural.
And the rock is naturally 300 to 320 million years old that it was found in. Now, upon studying this, the iron atoms of the object and the silicon atoms of the rock have melded together, suggesting that the screw is no recent addition. I love this. I have two different sources. I just need to tell you this paragraph and then the next paragraph come from two different sources.
Okay.
Experts concur that the screw was artificially constructed rather than a product of natural processes. It defies the laws of geology, whispering secrets of forgotten civilizations or perhaps extraterrestrial visitors.
Of course.
However, skeptics say the screw is no cosmic artifact, but rather a fossilized sea creature known as a crinoid. Paleontological analysis places the stone formation, no matter who sees it, they all think it's about 300 million years old. Some just think it is naturally occurring. This group who found it say it's a screw that they found.
Okay, so there's a fish that looks like a screw.
Well, we'll get to that part. Okay. The team that found it also claims that an x-ray of the stone shows that another screw is present inside it. However, this group has never allowed international experts to examine the object, nor have they revealed what the screw is made of. Uh-huh. These are two different sources. I generally find the ones that aren't skeptical kind of take liberties in adding to the stories as they go. We're going to see that as we come along. Since this initial finding in 98, much debate has surrounded the discovery, with scientists scoffing at the suggestion that it reflects an ancient screw and suggesting that it's a much less exciting explanation. The fossilized remains of an ancient sea creature known as a crinoid are a species of marine animals that are believed to have evolved about 350 million years ago, and they're characterized by a mouth on the top surface that is surrounded by feeding arms. And today there are around 600 crinoid species, but they were much more abundant and diverse hundreds of millions of years ago. Over the years, geologists have found countless fossils representing whole crinoids or their segments, some of which resemble screws. And scientists have suggested that the screw-like shape seen in fossil samples may be the reverse shape of the creature, which dissolved while the rock was shaped around it. And this is a direct quote. It is thought that the fossilized creature in the mysterious rock is a form of sea lily, a type of crinoid that grew a stalk when it became an adult to tether itself to the seabed. However, some say that the stalks of crinoids were typically much smaller than the screw that was found, with slightly different markings, and have discarded the theory. This is Nigel Watson, an author of a UFO investigation manual, that is saying this. Finish the statement off. It would be great to think we could find such ancient evidence of a spaceship visiting us so long ago, but we have to consider whether extraterrestrial spacecraft builders would use screws in the construction of a spacecraft. It also seems that the story is probably a hoax that is being spread on the internet and reflects our desire to believe that extraterrestrials have visited us in the past and are still visiting us today in what we now call UFOs. There is also controversy surrounding the group Cosmopois, because they're a UFO study group in Russia. So they're not actually like geologists that found this thing. It's a UFO study group.
That sounds nice though.
And Chelsea, I'm gonna let you be the judge of this. On top, I have found pictures of crinoid fossils. And below it, I found what I think is, and here's the thing, when you're looking at this, there's about four different pictures that always come up of the screw, but they're four different photos of four different distinct things. So on the bottom is the screw they found, and on the top is a crinoid.
Okay. I don't buy it. That looks, if they're going into the rock, didn't they cut into the rock or something?
I assume they were cutting into rock. This story's actually a little
Well, it's fossilized, I guess. It's like rock. Yeah. I don't know. It looks different. It looks like a screw. I just Googled it too. It looks very screw-like. These just have grooves.
Yeah, but Chelsea, if you Google it, is there not like four different photos that are all saying that they're the 300 million year old screw? And they all seem like they're in very distinct rocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's many photos.
And all of them are different shaped rocks or different colored rocks.
Yeah, I just have to say, this guy that's holding it on yours, his top finger's like weird looking.
He's got a stubby pointer finger, that's for sure.
It's very stubby looking.
It's almost like a thumb.
I don't know.
Does he have two thumbs?
It does look like two thumbs, doesn't it? They're about the same size. I would see this, first of all, I would be spooked. This is spooky. This is definitely out of place. I wouldn't expect to see it, therefore spooky. Plus, he has two thumbs, so that's also spooky.
You gotta keep in mind that when you discovered this thing, you got two thumbs on one hand.
To me, it does look like a screw.
Okay.
And it doesn't, looking at the actual fossil of the fish thing that you said?
The crinoids?
It doesn't look the same, but the ones on the right-hand side, there's a little resemblance. But these have very defined grooves, like a screw. Okay. But why would you put a screw there?
Yeah, my theory would be what they're saying is that... Sorry, I shouldn't say this is the theory, but UFO crashes. They gotta fix it. They're working on it. You drop a screw, you can't find it. That's just how it works sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it just embeds right into a rock.
And of course, UFOs, that's just how they're held together naturally.
Yeah, or it's interdimensional, so it just slipped into the rock somehow and became one with it. That's gotta be it.
Yeah, so that's the first one.
Okay. I mean, we figured it out, so I'm sure we can move on.
Chelsea, the next one. We're going to put ourselves in the shoes of a family of three Californians living in 1961.
Are we all family or we're separate families?
No, we're all three people.
All three of us family. Yeah. Okay.
No, we're all three people. Not all three of us are people in a family.
Okay.
Because these three people in a family are out searching.
Okay. Gotcha. I need to make sure I'm picturing this correctly.
Yeah, it's real important for this story. So we're out searching for geodes for our gem and gift shop in Olancha, California. Uh-huh. So, you know, we got to find rocks and geodes to survive. That's how our family puts dinner on the table. And
I feel like we're going to find something spooky.
We don't find enough fancy looking rocks. One third of us is not eaten tonight. That's just how it goes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Shit.
But we're out there, we're looking for rocks, and what should we discover but a spark plug encased in a geode? So Virginia Maxey, who is one of the three, says that at the time...
That's me.
No, you're all three, Chelsea. Don't you understand this?
Exactly, that's me. Okay. And the other one.
They found the rock, they cut it open, because, you know, that's what you do with geodes, to show off all the fancy sparkly stuff inside.
Yeah.
And they see the spark plug. They take it to the geologist. He says, wow, this geode is 500,000 years old. This is clearly out of place. Spark plugs, I don't know if you know this, Chelsea, but as part of the family of three, you would. Spark plugs have been invented within the last 500,000 years.
Okay.
Making this before spark plugs should have been invented.
Okay. Right. Is the spark plug still working?
I don't think it is. I don't think they tried it, though.
Okay.
The item was described as a porcelain cylinder with a 2 millimeter shaft of bright metal, and later tests revealed the shaft to be magnetic. In a letter to Desert Magazine of Outdoor Southwest, a reader stated that a trained geologist had dated the nodule to at least 500,000 years old. The identity of the geologist and the means of dating were never clarified, though, and nor were the findings ever published in any known periodical. Furthermore, there was no method for dating the concretion at the time of the artifact's reported discovery.
Okay.
Also, geologist never named. Critics of the claim. Yeah. Critics of this claim of the spark plug being 500,000 years old have seen x-rays and artist's sketch of the artifact to analyze, and they think it was a modern spark plug that got encased in a quick forming concretion rather than a geode. With a quote here from Pierre Stromberg and Paul Heinrich, there is little hard evidence that the original discoverers intended to deceive anyone. However, this just appears to be a maybe 40-year-old spark plug.
Okay.
An investigation by Pierre Stromberg and Paul Heinrich using the x-rays taken of the subject with the help of members of the Spark Plug Collectors of America, which I now know exists, identified the artifact as a 1920s era champion spark plug widely used in the Ford Model T and Model A engines. By the way, you should know also, Champion is the brand name. It's not a spark plug that won anything. I should also add, so the Spark Plug Collectors of America, President Chad Windham, and other collectors concurred with this assessment.
The spark plug. But
yeah, that
not
is a spark plug from the 1920s.
Yeah, but they're not.
They are not geode experts.
So maybe that makes it spookier because...
Yeah, in fact, I feel like these are people that are likely to know less about the world than your normal person because they've spent so much of their time just thinking
focusing
about
spark on
plugs.
Spark plugs. What a hobby to pick up spark plugs.
I wonder if it's still around. I didn't actually look into them.
I'm torn whether or not this makes it spookier or less spookier. Because on one hand, it could be a 1920s spark plug in a real 500,000-year-old geode.
Here we get to this point. Stromberg and Heinrich made a report that indicates The spark plug became encased in a concretion composed of iron derived from the rusting spark plug. Iron and steel artifacts rapidly form iron oxide concretions as they rust in the ground.
Oh, so it's not even in you.
So it's likely just the fact that it is a spark plug that made it look like it grew a geode or a rock formation around it a lot faster than, say, something that should have been 500,000 years.
Okay. I'm not going to lie. That was very disappointing.
Yeah. And then also, I should say this. On April 12th, 2018, Strongberg was contacted by the family of one of the co-discoverers of the artifact and offered an opportunity to inspect the artifact physically. Strongberg accepted and also arranged for the artifact to be inspected by a geologist from the University of Washington Earth and Space Science Department. The inspection confirmed the previous conclusion that the artifact was a 1920s era champion spark plug. It has been claimed to have fossil shells on the surface dating back to 500,000 years ago, but when the geologist looked at it, there was absolutely no evidence of this. This raises the question of the qualifications and competence of the original geologist in 1961, or even if he existed. This one, not so spooky.
I do have some spooky news for you, though. Spark Plugs of America is still around. Club history here. It's a non-for-profit international organization that was founded in 1975 by Bill Bond of Ann Arbor, Michigan. The club is dedicated to the promotion of spark plug collecting, the research and preservation of spark plug history, the exchange of information in spark plugs, and fostering fellowship among club members worldwide.
Huh.
Become a member.
You gotta think, that's gotta be a cheap hobby to get into, right? Like, I don't see spark plugs costing you too much.
I mean, they have a group photo here. It's not looking like a club I want to be a part of. But okay. For the low cost of $20 and up, you could become a digital-only membership member of the Spark Plug of America membership club.
And you're going to drastically bring down the average age of the SPCA. And I just realized it's the SPCA.
SPCOA. Spark plug something.
They probably had some sort of lawsuit they had to go through for that one.
Anyhow, check them out.
Yeah.
Spooky. Wasn't ready for that today.
We're learning so much. Chelsea, this next one, I've always heard about this one. I think this is a fun one. Now, put yourself into this mindset. Imagine you're a Chinese writer and or maybe an archaeologist.
Easy.
As, let's face it, Mandarin is difficult for everyone to understand, including us, the Chinese writer and or archaeologist Bai Yu.
Yep.
We're out exploring Chaidam Basin near the town of Delinga in Qinghai Province, China. And in an escarpment called Mount Baigong, we spot what seems to be a carved triangular cave opening near a saltwater lake called Tosan Lake.
Triangle cave?
Thinking that the cave was human-made, we go inside and see what appears to be an array of metal pipes rising from the floor and embedded in the walls.
Uh-oh.
In an area that's not inhabited.
Uh-oh. Time to get out of there. It's spooky.
It's okay. This is happening in 96, I believe. I didn't write the date down here, but I think it comes up later.
Okay.
He observed more pipes protruding from the surface of the hill outside, as well as along the shores of the lake, and he sent samples of the pipe material to a government laboratory for testing. The laboratory sends back a report saying that 92% of the materials consisted of such common minerals as ferric oxide, silicon dioxide, and calcium oxide, but that 8% of it was unknown composition.
Does this mean to me as a Mandarin-speaking writer? I think I am.
And that or it, archaeologist.
It's a pipe? It is a pipe. It was confirmed. But also unknown. We don't know what it was.
There's things in there that would make you think, like calcium oxide might make you think that it either was a pipe or it had water moving through it that had calcium in it.
Oh, okay.
I also think calcium oxide can be a rock. I don't know. Calcium oxide, okay. Well, we don't need to know too much about that. Okay. But yeah, we think they're water pipes.
Okay.
And thermoluminescence testing in 2001 established that the pipes long predate human inhabitation in the area, and some even suggesting that these are dated to 150,000 years ago.
Wow.
Which I don't know if you know, Chelsea, but predates human civilization. Not humans, okay. But human civilization.
I'm not still in the cave, am I? Have I left?
No, at this point, we have left the cave.
Okay, good.
And some are strongly suggesting that these pipes are evidence of presence of a previous civilization or even extraterrestrial civilization in the area. And this formation comes to the attention of Westerners through an article that gets published in China's Xinhua news agency, describing a planned scientific investigation of the phenomenon. And it specifically mentions this article, an extraterrestrial origin theory. Mm-hmm. So people get excited about this.
Logically, yeah.
Yeah, you've probably heard this before, Chelsea. It's called the bygone pipes. This is what we're talking about. Mm.
I don't know if I have. It sounds like something that's probably been on Ancient Aliens.
It's definitely been on Ancient Aliens at one point. Chinese geologists end up going back in 2001 to visit, and they made further observations. They found that the pipes varied widely in size and shape. They were largely composed of carbon and pyrite cement, all naturally occurring as a result of geological processes. Other explanations for the pipes were proposed. One theory was that the plateau of Tibet left fissures while it was rising up in hard sandstone, which magma was forced through, and the chemical effects of subsequent geological processes resulted in the appearance of rusty iron. However, there's no evidence of ancient volcanoes in the area, and this theory was discounted. Another more promising explanation suggested that these same fissures filled with iron-rich sediment during flooding of the area, and the sediment hardened into pipe-like structures of iron pyrite. This theory comported with the area's geological past. However, the scientific consensus, as reported in Shinmin Weekly in 2003, is that the pipes are actually pipes. Just kidding, it's actually fossilized tree roots. Two American researchers, Joan Mosa and B.A. Shoemaker, studied similar cylindrical structures found in soils in southern Louisiana and concluded in an article published in 1993 that processes of pedogenesis and diagenesis had resulted in mineral elements forming around tree roots and the interior of which rotted away, leaving hollow pipe-like cylinders. The Chai Dam Basin had been a subtropical area with plentiful vegetation at an earlier age, and atomic emission spectroscopy revealed organic plant material within the material making up the pipes. Therefore, Chinese scientists accepted this as the most probable theory to account for the bygone pipes. However, you know, that's not exciting, so we're just going to say they're pipes.
I'm just looking at a picture. They're cool looking.
They are very cool looking.
I don't know that I would said that it was pipes, though, if I saw it. I'd be like, wow, those rocks
look
cool.
Well, to be fair, I wouldn't know what 150,000-year-old pipes look like. I'm not a plumber, nor an archaeological plumber.
Well, that's true.
Nor did pipes exist 150,000 years ago. So we're going to have to take some imaginative liberties.
I mean, that's me, but I'm also not speaking as the Mandarin-speaking archaeologist slash reader right now.
Yeah. And or.
So if I was speaking as him.
And also, it needs to be clear that the reason I say that is because there's different stories out there and they all kind of change what they describe him as. Some describe him as an archaeologist, some describe him as a writer. It's not consistent, nor could I find the original source. So
I am both. Yes, I would think they were pipes. Definitely. It looks suspicious.
Bayou's got an eye for pipes.
Suspicious pipes. A little bit spooky. But as Chelsea, it looks suspiciously like rocks.
Chelsea, from here, we're going to move on to another place with a great wall, that of course being Texas. We are going into Texas. We are a farmer in Rockwall County, Texas.
Oh, I thought we were going to the border.
You know what? We're not that far away, actually. And this...
They have so many great walls.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there was some sort of ancient immigration they were trying to stop. Anyhow, it's 1852. Texas is now 4 years. It's been a part of the states. And to celebrate this, we decide to dig a well so our family doesn't die.
Okay.
Because we're just basically farmers living off the land.
What's my name again? Jed Clampett?
No idea what our name is this time around.
Jed Clampett.
Okay.
We need to dig a well.
Yeah. Well, while we're out maybe shooting we'll find deer, we do not find oil. Probably very likely it's Texas pre-oil boom. Instead, we discover an ancient brick wall estimated to be anywhere from 200,000 to 400,000 years old and 7 stories high and 20 miles long.
Wow. Buried, obviously.
Yeah. And Chelsea, you can take a look at these. It's that rock wall in Texas.
That did not bring anything up.
Well, there's also a city called Rockwall, Texas. So
Rockwall.
Coincidentally, it's where the rock wall is. You know what? I can share my screen. Probably easier.
Yeah, because this is not bringing anything. How does it not have
anything? Chelsea, you're digging your well and this is what comes up.
Oh, yike. Spooky. That would freak me out.
Here's a bit of a better picture of it. I don't think this is actually one of them. I can't remember. This came from an article I was reading. This one, I think they built that one to keep out the more modern immigrants. Just kidding. I think it's to look nice.
Okay, I have it. It came up now.
Okay.
I don't know why I had problems.
I did some digging, and there's not like a Wikipedia article on this one, but there's a really good Dallas News has a really good review of this.
Oh, what's it doing there? Okay, this one's good.
Yeah.
This one's a creepy one. Why is there a wall?
And this one really looks like not only are there layers to the rocks, but they're segmented pieces, almost like it is a rock wall made of bricks that you would have to put together, correct?
Yeah, it's a wall. Yeah.
And again, it's 20 miles long and 7 stories tall, which is what, about 60 feet? I don't know. Americans use weird measurements whenever they feel like it. I have no idea how many football fields long that is, nor how many months we could measure it in. So I'm lost.
Okay, this is a legit wall. I'm curious to learn more.
I'm going to read a bit for you from the Dallas News article on this topic. At the Rockwall County Historical Foundation Museum, curator Carolyn Holt said many artifacts and clues point to a possible ancient settlement. And Chelsea, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page for this too at this point. At the earliest, humans got to North America 30,000 years ago. They were not here between 200 and 400,000 years ago when this wall came into existence.
What?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Spooky. Okay. There's no denying this wall. It's a wall.
In some of the museum's collections, photos depict corners of the alleged buried city that signify that people may have carved it out. John Geisman, a professor emeritus of geology at the University of Texas, Dallas, tested a set of rocks for an episode of the History Channel's America Unearthed in 2012. Geisman is a geophysicist, meaning he studies the magnetic properties of rocks. Geisman said the rock formation is called a sandstone dike, which is created when sediment and minerals build up into fractures of earth. Rocks formed in dikes are almost always younger than the surrounding rock, and sometimes these dikes are formed after an earthquake or when faults occur that force liquefied materials upwards. In the case of Rockwall's rock wall, the sandstone is made of quartz that has been cemented by additional quartz, which makes it extremely hard in contrast to the surrounding rock, Geisman said. While sandstone dikes are not uncommon, Geisman said he thought Rockwall's rock formation was unusual when he saw it for the first time. Not only were the sandstone dike stones thin, but they could also be traced for long distances, which is an unusual characteristic for dikes. He also noted that the pattern of the dikes were similar to that of bricks. This is a direct quote from him. The fractured pattern in these features is quite impressive. It's not irregular in character, and I think that's a big factor resulting in the human thought mechanism that took place when these features were discovered. End quote. Rocks have the ability to permanently hold the Earth's magnetic orientation when they are formed. Geisman tested the magnetism in the rock and found that the magnetism of the rocks, or the time in which they were formed, were the same, and concluded that the formation is natural. And just another quote here to kind of finish up his part. If these had been a stack of bricks put in place to form these impressive planar features, each brick would have been put in place in a different random fashion, he said. What we found was that by and large, the magnetization in sandstone dike is pretty uniform in direction. Just because, you know, if you're putting bricks on a wall, mm-hmm. it's going to be random which direction you put them in. It's not going to be like you rotate them and you're going to pull them exactly in the same direction the entire time until you put it down. You're going to do that with every brick.
Yeah.
Because every single one of these pieces of sandstone has the exact same direction of magnetization, it's safe to say that they all came into being at the same time. Geisman is sure that the rocks are natural, but also said that it's important for scientists to keep an open mind about how the formation has been used. Russo agrees and has said he believes that a prior civilization may have manipulated the rock formation to fit their own needs, perhaps in the form of a temple or a fortress. Russo said he has traveled across the country to various states to see if similar formations exist, with no luck. Russo said there may not be a way to find out how the rocks were formed and what they may have been used for, but it's also part of the rock wall's appeal. That's the end of that article, or at least the part I'm going to be citing. In any event, this thing is truly weird, and just because it exists naturally doesn't mean that somebody wasn't using it. That end part I think is really cool.
Well, I can't say I'm not disappointed by that explanation, because it looks like a wall.
It does. And there are people that believe it is an out-of-place artifact that is, in fact, a wall from an ancient civilization.
Yeah.
However, you also have to keep in mind, if it is 7 stories tall, we haven't been building for 7 stories for that long as a civilization.
No. No, I hate the logical explanation, but I'll accept it.
And Chelsea, this brings us to our last out of place artifact.
Who am I?
This time, you are a British Egyptologist. It is 1936. You got a good feeling about the new government coming into Germany to turn it around. And our name is Walter Brian Emery.
Okay, I seem like I'm going to get cursed.
You know what? I never looked into this guy. Let's just say he ends up getting cursed at some point, but not now.
Yeah,
we are young, we are limber maybe, and we are just looking for that curse.
Yeah, I don't feel cursed yet.
Yes.
I feel like it's coming though.
Much like how naval officers always end up with venereal disease in this day, we are going to end up cursed. We don't know when or how, we just accept that it's going to happen.
Okay, what are we up to as Walter?
We go into a mastaba tomb, which is basically, it's a freestanding tomb in the middle of the desert, usually made out of stones. Kind of has a pyramid shape to it, but they're not big. This one in particular, it has inside it a mummy that we end up calling Sabu. Okay. And there are seven chambers inside. Where the mummy named Sabu is, room E, there's a disc found in the central location right next to the skeleton, which was originally buried in a wooden coffin. This object was broken in several fragments and later gets restored. Chelsea, I want you to look up S-A-B-U, Sabu, disc, so you can see what was found.
Is that a frisbee?
We will get to that.
Is that a hubcap? Is it a fan?
And this is actually the fun thing about this one. I'm just going to say it outright. We don't know what it is. All we know is it's called the Sabu disc, and it's weird. Best guess that they have at the time is it's a holder for oil. Is basically what the guess is at this time.
Okay, none of my guesses were that.
So the artifact is in the shape of a shallow bowl with a diameter of 24 inches or 61 centimeters and a maximum height of 10.6 centimeters or 4.2 inches. There is a central hole with a diameter of about 8 centimeters or 3 inches, which is fitted with a socket whose height corresponds approximately to the depth of the bowl. From the slightly raised outer edge, three wings or lobes are folded inwards towards the central hole, with the outer edge remaining in the form of narrow arches that connect the non-folded parts with each other. When viewed from above, it resembles a steering wheel with three very wide spokes. And due to its design, the disc is considered a unique piece in Egyptology. Nothing like this has ever been found again.
It doesn't look consistent with other artifacts.
No, and
as
Chelsea,
if it's out of place.
Yeah. This one too, while looking at it, I need you to keep in mind, it's made of stone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess, logically, doesn't look
like it. No, it looks like it's made of metal, and they did have metal at the time, but this one in particular is made of stone. Plate, to be specific. Emery, the character that we are at this time, who is still afresh without the curse, we assume, interpreted the artifact as a vessel placed on a stand because of the central hole, but no remains of any stand were found. It should be known, however, that this mastaba tomb was not untouched when Emery discovered it, but like many other ancient Egyptian tombs, it had been looted by grave robbers centuries before. Since the production of a metal object shaped like the Sabu disc would be easy, but very complex if it were made from easily splintered rock, it has been assumed that the disc may have been an imitation of a metal object. Early reports of the discovery dubbed the find a mysterious vessel and speculated that it may have been a gigantic lamp. That's the best guess scientists have.
Still.
In popular and unscientific publications, an English engineer named William Kay is quoted as having further developed this hypothesis. According to him, the bowl was used as a three-flame oil lamp during ritual activities and was placed on a holder for this purpose. Another hypothesis stated that the bowl could only have served as a decorative purpose because of its fragility. In Egyptology, apart from the brief reports mentioned, there was no extensive discussion of the disc and its function. Some ancient astronaut fringe theorists believe that the object is an out-of-place artifact, and according to the theory, the significance of the disc can be recognized, besides its unique form, by the fact that it is placed in the center of the burial chamber and not Sabu's remains. In addition, its appearance resembles the symbol of radioactivity, and Zachariah Stichen believes it is a flywheel or flywheel storage.
It's a flywheel.
A flywheel is basically a gear that pulls. If you go to the Wikipedia page for a flywheel, it's basically the gear that pulls from the energy source.
Okay. I mean, Zachariah Sitchin's never been... No. Am I thinking of the right guy? No, I'm thinking of...
There's a lot of names that could come up. Another one's going to come up later.
The one with the heavy accent.
Yeah, you can wait. We'll see. Hear that name later.
Okay.
The Airbus Research Center made copies of this disc using a 3D printer to examine the physical properties of it. And the copies had aerodynamic properties. And one thing that they said it could serve as is a frisbee.
I said that.
That's as good as mine. I think it's a frisbee too. I think it was a fancy person's frisbee that they wanted to take with them to the afterlife.
Yeah. Who wouldn't if you had a favorite frisbee?
Yeah, but it should be noted, due to the rotational symmetry, use as a propeller or turbine would be impossible because it would have no force on the air around it. So it wasn't like it was the propeller on an airplane. It was also shown that it was possible to use the disc as an oil lamp. So that is still a possibility.
I mean, you could use a frisbee as a candle holder.
I mean, technically, yeah, pretty much anything that can hold something can be a candle holder.
Yes, exactly.
It should be noted, Chelsea, if you want to see a copy of this thing, you can find it at Jungfrau Park, which was founded by Erich von Däniken.
Ah, that's the name.
Yes.
Jungfrau Park. Why did he found a park?
Don't you remember he has like a Disneyland of ancient astronaut theory stuff?
Are you serious?
And I'm pretty sure it's in Switzerland. Yeah, we might have to do an episode on that.
We might just have to go there. Erich von Däniken Park. Mysteries of the world at Jungfrau Park. Where is this?
I'm pretty sure it's in Switzerland.
Interlaken, in Switzerland. I was so close to this. Why haven't I been there? We need to do a field trip.
You know what? I think this did just open up an episode that we'll be doing. Likely it'll be tied in with Erich von Däniken when we do him.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pavilions. And there's Nazca, Contact, Megastones, Maya, Orient, Vimana, and Challenge. Those are the pavilions.
But yeah, I thought it would be good to end off on this one just because I do think it is, of the things I talked about, the most out of place artifact. It's the only one like it that's ever been found. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
You can't really explain it, though. They're like, okay, this is probably, we think it's a frisbee. I think it's a frisbee.
Yeah.
But nobody will know for sure.
Even then, I don't know. The technology doesn't seem that out of place, nor does it seem like it could do something technologically wise other than be a friggin' sweet frisbee.
Yeah, I can't believe I've never known about this ancient alien Disneyland. Now that you've shown me this, I just can't believe it.
I could have sworn you knew about that. But anyhow, Chelsea, those are the out of place artifacts that I wanted to talk about today. There's way more out there. We can do more episodes on this. But it should be noted that generally speaking, when these come up, the actual out of place part is more speculation on some parties where there's another explanation that's more widely accepted. There are some, however, like the Sabu disc, which doesn't have a great explanation. It is just we haven't found anything else like it. So it does seem out of place.
Yeah.
Also, there's forgeries out there, but that's we're just keeping this on. Not
out of place. In that case, it could show up literally anywhere on Earth and it would be out of place.
Because its whole existence is a lie.
There's a water park at this place.
Okay, Chelsea, anything you want to add to this episode before you go plan your vacation?
You can have birthday parties there too.
Okay.
So I know where I'm having my next birthday party. No, you're right. It wasn't as spooky as I thought it was going to be. It was spooky in that cave for a few minutes, but then I got out and it was fine. But pretty logical explanations of everything. And I hate that, but I already said how much I hate that.
If you don't like the explanation, you don't have to like it or believe it. It's just the very likely logical explanation in every situation.
I hate that, but that's where we are with things, because there's always a logical one that we have come to with most episodes.
And logically speaking, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.